All right, you guys, we've been talking about a series called 101, kind of the Back to the Basics of Life and Faith. Tonight is about worship. So I'm going to start right at the beginning. What is worship? We're going to take a look at what are some definitions. How can we define worship a little bit? So if you look up on the screen or even in your handouts, you've got some ideas. Luli Giglio puts together some ideas about worship, and he says this in his book, Wired for a Life of Worship, that worship is a verb. Would you agree with that? It's something that you actually do. It's not just a spectator thing, but you got to participate. Participate in it. It's an action that we take. There it is, the second part. Worship is something you do is the second one. And here's the third one. Worship is simply about value. So if that's true, what do you value? It's kind of the next question in the back of your head. What do you value? What do you value the most? And then what would be next after that? And then what would be next after that? What are the top five things that you value maybe? Here's the next one that he says. It says, worship is our response to what we value most. So let's say you value money the most, okay? Then what's your response to money? Well, maybe you just want more and more and more money. And so your worship of money turns into a sin called what? Greed, right? So do you guys get the idea that what you value most ends up demanding your time and your energy and your heart and your thoughts and what you spend your effort trying to get ends up being, in the end, what you worship. Now, most people don't walk around saying, oh, yeah, I worship money, right? But if you look at their time and their energy and the things that they do and the way that they act and behave, you might find people that, you know what, that ends up being at the top of their list. So what's at the top of your list, right? Then he says this, worship is showing value with words and actions. So you figure out what you value the most, and then what are your actions and your words? How is that going to affect, like, the thing that you worship, okay? Let's say it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You worship a person, okay? Then your words, you might say that you love them, okay? You might, with your actions, buy them gifts and do things for them to show them that they're special. Are you with me? Now, is it bad to like somebody? No. But here's the thing. God wants to be number one on the list. And sometimes he's number 25 or number 100 or number 1,000. Are you with me? And so anything that takes slot number one in your life ends up being the thing that you worship, right? Luli Giglio also says this, worship is something you engage your heart in. Okay, it's not just something that you mildly care about. It's something that you're very passionate about. And then at the end, as we kind of sum all those things together and move toward this idea of faith, that worship is a whole life response to God's greatness and glory. That would be maybe the definition of Christian worship. Because we can worship a lot of things in the world, right? It wouldn't necessarily have to be God. So here's my question for you. If you look up here on the stage, we've got a throne. And on the throne are lots of different things, right? Can you see some things up there? I'm going to go over some of the items that are up here. Maybe you worship technology, okay? Maybe you're always into, we got a phone here. We've got a laptop computer. Maybe you're like totally into your phone, apps, games, texting, messaging, getting on the internet. You just love gadgets and gizmos and technology, and you find yourself spending a lot of time on those things. Raise your hand if you spent some time either on a computer or on your phone today. Anybody spend time on a computer or phone or even an iPad or whatever, some technology, right? Now, is technology bad? No, I think it's kind of neat. It's kind of cool. It's kind of fun. Sometimes it makes our life better. Sometimes it makes you want to cuss and swear and get angry because the technology is broke or doesn't work or you lost all your data or your information, whatever. Okay? Maybe it's sports. So maybe you are an athlete. Maybe it's not basketball. I have a basketball in my hand, but maybe it's something else. Maybe it's soccer or football or some other event, cross-country, track, whatever it might be. Or the trophy underneath it. Maybe for you, on the throne of your life is achievement. You love props. You love getting trophies and accolades and awards. And you like to say, hey, look at me. Look what I did. I won this. I won this. I won this. Maybe it's fashion. So I've got some shoes here. I've got some flip-flops. And I don't know what that is, a little bathrobe action. Clothing. How many of you like clothes? Yes, I think it's okay to like clothes. It's not okay to worship them, right? Sometimes it's shopping. So, you know, we've got, maybe you wouldn't say you worship money, but maybe you just absolutely love to shop and buy stuff. Maybe you buy stuff on Amazon, or maybe you actually go to the mall or to the store. Maybe buying stuff, shopping is your thing, Okay, we got snowboarding over here. Maybe that's your sport. Maybe you got some other things that you like. We've got an Xbox and some old games up here. Maybe you love video games of all shapes and sizes. Okay, anybody spend any time gaming today on a mobile device or on a game system? Okay, yeah. Up here, I have a heart. Maybe yours is love. Maybe you on the throne of your life is love. You're looking for love, you're searching for love, and you want love as your thing. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a relationship that is up there. How about food? We've got some Little Debbie snack cakes. We've got some Star Wars. That's hilarious. Snar Wars. We have some Star Wars fruit snack. How many of you like snack food? Okay. How many just like going out to eat? How many just enjoy eating in general? How many of you crave chocolate or dessert? Okay. I'm not a skinny man. I love my food. Okay. I do. I love food. And for me, I would say in my heart, probably entertainment and food sit on Larry's throne more than I would like to admit. Okay. Are you with me? What is it for you, though? What takes the place of the number one spot in your life? Maybe you push all this stuff aside and you sit there and you're the king or queen of your life. Maybe you are in charge. Maybe you are on the throne. Or maybe it's a person or maybe it's something. But I want you to think about that. I'm going to read to you from this book that I mentioned earlier, Wired for a Life of Worship. Here's what Louis Giglio says in his book about what worship is. He says, think of it this way. Worship is simply about value. The simplest definition I can give is this. Worship is our response to what we value most. And that's why, check this out, worship is that thing that we all do. It's what we're all about on any given day, because worship is about saying, this person, this thing, this experience, this whatever is what matters most to me. It's the thing I put first in my life. That thing might be a relationship or a dream, friends or status or stuff or a name, some kind of pleasure. But whatever name you put on it, this thing or person is what you've concluded in your heart is worth most to you. And whatever is worth most to you, you guessed it, is what you worship. All right, so worship tells us what we value most, and as a result, worship determines our actions, becoming the driving force for all we do. So what if family is on the throne? If I put my family, my kids and my wife on the throne, is that a bad thing? Well, if it takes the number one spot, it is. Because here's what God says. Don't worship things that were created because they're not the most important thing. Are you with me? People were made. Things and stuff were made by people. So if we keep worshiping things that were created instead of the creator, we've got it mixed up, right? Now, is it okay for family to be important? Absolutely. But I know it sounds strange and I'm not going to be real popular today, but God doesn't want anything else in all the world to take the top spot in your life. So he goes on to say this in his book. He says, and we're not just talking about the religious crowd, Christians, the church going among us, or the youth group attender. We're talking about everybody on planet Earth, a multitude of souls proclaiming with every breath what is worthy of your affection, of your attention, of your allegiance, and proclaiming with every step what it is that they worship. So some of us attend the church on the corner, and we profess to worship the living God above all. But other people, they rarely step inside a church, right? Would you say that worship is not part of their lives because they're not religious? Nope, that's not true. It says, but everybody has an altar, and on that altar has a throne. So how do you know where and what you worship? Well, it's easy. Check this out. Not sure what you worship? You simply follow the trail of your time, your affection, your energy, your money, and your loyalty. And at the end of the trail, you'll find a throne. And whatever or whomever is on that throne is what's of highest value to you. And on that throne is what you worship. You know what? I got to be honest. It's a little intimidating, a little bit scary, and a little embarrassing. Because in my life, I have put a lot of wrong things, a lot of less valuable things on the throne. And I'm going to guess that you have too. And at different points in my life, I've put a girl or a relationship on the throne. Or I've been sitting on the throne myself because I was just selfish and that's where I wanted to be. Or it was trophies in sports. And for a long time in high school, I chased accomplishments. I chased sports. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be well-known. I wanted to be well-liked. Or you know what's not up here? You could put academics up here. School, being well-known, you know, being super smart and getting, you know, a great education. That's good stuff. But it can't take the number one spot. All right, so in your paper or on your handouts, look at the next part. All right, so that was what is worship. Now that we kind of know what it is, why? Why worship God? If there's all this other stuff we could worship, why worship God? So somebody read the point, what it says up there or in your handout. What's the point?
What is worthy of your affection, attention, and allegiance?
All right, so what do you think? What's worthy of your attention, affection, allegiance? That's a good question. Well, here's what God says, and the Bible would back this up, and it would say this. Because why should we worship God? Well, because God is worthy of worship. Why? Because he made it all, right? He made us. He made the planet. He made the universe. He made all the stuff that we like. He made it all, and it makes sense to worship the guy who was unmade, the guy who made it all, the one who is over everything. Here's what Psalm 96 says. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Here's the next part. Because God wants our worship. Now, you know what? He's not just a selfish, greedy, full of himself kind of God. But actually the most, this is going to sound really weird. The most loving thing he can do is put himself on the throne and ask us to worship him, because that is the best way. That is, and that's the second part, because it's how we were made. We were made to worship. And why worship anything else except the maker? Right? Because if he made it all, then everything under him is less worthy than he himself. Are you with me? Are you tracking with that? Okay. All right, so the three things. Why to worship God? Because he's worthy, because he wants our worship, and because God made us to worship. That's how we were designed. All right, now you guys are smart, and I know you and creative too, but there are lots of different ways to worship, and I've got a whole list there. But just shout out a few ways, whether it's up on the board or not. What are some ways that people can worship? It can be up there in your handout, or it could just be something off the top of your head. How do people show their worship? How do they express themselves? Singing is probably the most popular, most famous way. Sure. Taking hikes. Go for a walk in nature. Sometimes it's really easy to worship God when you're surrounded by the creation, the things that he made. That's one of my favorite ways. Riding? Like riding what? Oh, writing. Sure. I wonder if they were worshiping as they did that. You know, that'd be pretty wild. Yeah. You know what, Justin, you're hitting on something, though. Words, expressing ourselves to God in words, writing it down, saying it in a prayer, saying it out loud. How many of you guys have ever tried to express yourself to God in words? I mean, that's pretty common, yeah. What else? Other ways that people worship. Well, we'll cruise through some of them. And if I miss some, why don't you add a few? All right, we'll start on the left side. A lot of ways people like to worship or how to worship. Singing, clapping, dancing, shouting, thanking, standing, kneeling, repenting, raising your hands, enjoying nature. Those are some of the things you guys already mentioned. And there's some Bible verses that go with all those, okay? We're not going to look them up tonight. But you know what? Maybe you're really into this topic and you want to check them out. I encourage you on your own. Look those up later. On the left side is stuff that you could do right now in this room. Okay. On the right side is a little bit more challenging stuff that's more about living your life, okay? That we can actually do a physical act of worship. But the Bible says, you know what? Our worship is more than just expressing that stuff. It actually involves how we live. So if you look on the right side, ways that you could show or worship God would be this. You can worship him with your life, the way that you live your life, with your body, what you do with your body. Your mouth, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your thoughts, your heart, your actions, and your choices. All of that can be part of the way that we worship. Now, some of us might be embarrassed. If our actions and choices represent some of our worship, then holy cow, what did we just do? Are you with me? Like, if you just lie and steal and hurt somebody, that's not cool, right? That's not a good way to express ourselves, right? But you know what? What would be an action you could do to show God your worship, or a choice that you could make? If you look up the verse in James 2, it says that our faith without deeds is dead. that our faith requires some action to take. So showing some love to other people might be an action you could take, right? Biting your tongue and not swearing and cussing at your friends or your mom or dad or your teachers or your people on your sports team might be a good way to bite, you know, not communicate negative stuff and try to replace that with some positive, encouraging words that you could give, right? Just some examples. So you give me one. What's one of your favorite ways you like to worship? Do you have a favorite? You're going to share about that in your life group later. I know you guys worship a lot. What's one of your favorite ways to worship God? Karin already talked about going for a hike. I think that's cool. What else? Devin? Singing? The one you do most often? Yeah. Writing? Yep. Writing music. Yeah, writing a song or poem. Yeah. What else? Anybody else got a favorite way they like to worship or express themselves to God? Raising hands? Yeah. That's cool. All right, let's move on to this next part. Actually, we're going to sing. How about that? All right, you guys, the next two songs are a little more reflective, okay? There is a guy that wrote many songs, and a while back, this guy, Matt Redman, you guys know who Matt Redman is? He wrote a lot of the worship songs that we do on Sunday morning. He wrote a book as well that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But he wrote a song that I felt like really fit with tonight called The Heart of Worship. So we're just going to dim the lights. You can just sit and kind of reflect. We're going to play the music up on the screen. If you know the song or you want to read the lyrics, you can sing along. But I know it's an older one, so some of you may not know it. But I think it captures an important message for us about going back to the heart of things. All right, we're just going to pause right there. In your handout is a little blank space toward the bottom on the right-hand side where it says, My Heart. And here's what I want you to do. I want you just to take a couple minutes, and I want you to actually spread out in the room and just spend a little bit of time with God, and then I want you to write down some things to God. Just maybe express how you feel about him or what he means to you. So go ahead and stand up and move around the room. Just stay in here, but find a spot. Take a couple minutes, and we'll keep the lights down low, and maybe just pray to him, maybe worship a little in your own heart. And then in the space provided, write down some things about how you feel about God. All right, I'm just going to close this in prayer here. God, thank you so much that you love us so completely that we can come to you and tell you how we're feeling. We can tell you what's on our heart and what's on our mind. God, I'm sorry for all the stuff that I put on my throne in my life that they're less valuable than you. And I chase those things, and I'm sorry for that. God, would you help me to put you back on the throne, back at the top, back at number one in my heart. God, that's hard to do. It seems like every day is a battle to make that happen. And so many things want our attention. So God, would you help us as a youth group be people who are good worshipers, who worship well, who put you first and express ourselves to you. Help us to do that this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. All right, if you want to make your way back to your seat. You guys, Matt Redman, who did the song we just did, also wrote a book called The Unquenchable Worshiper. And I wanted to read you a little bit from it. And I felt like, you know what, this guy has been worshiping and writing songs since he was a teenager. And I feel like he's got a lot of good things to say about it. And part of it really resonates with my heart. So follow with me, if you will, as I read to you a little bit and see if this isn't true in your life, okay? He says, too often my worship is tamed by the complications and struggles of this world. But I long to be in a place where my fire for God cannot be quenched or washed away, even by the mightiest rivers of opposition. I long for a worship that can never be extinguished. Just as water can put out a fire, so too the pressures and the trials of this life can dampen our hearts of worship. It's so easy in a time of hardship to cool off a bit and lose that sense of wonder and trust. So we ask God why we'd let such things happen to us, and we wind down our worship, kidding ourselves that we'll start up again when things are better. Or maybe we don't like worshiping anymore, so we don't. I've seen many worshipers thrown off course by difficult situations. But I've also seen people who have endured even more difficult situations and emerged with their hearts of worship burning as strongly as ever, if not stronger. He says, there's a kind of worshiper who always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres, and who gets through the storms of life with a heart still blazing. Sometimes it comes down to a simple choice. We may be hard-pressed on every side, weary, and not able to sense God, but then a choice faces us to fix our eyes on the circumstances or to cling to God and to choose to worship him even when it hurts. The heart of God loves the offerings of a persevering worshiper. Though overwhelmed by many troubles, they are even more overwhelmed by the beauty of God. You guys, I got to be honest with you that when struggles and trials and difficulties come in my life, sometimes I turn to God and sometimes I run. When life gets tough and you get beat up, sometimes it takes your fire for God away. And I don't like that about life, and I don't like that about me, because I end up focusing on my problems instead of focusing on God being able to help me through them. You know, you guys ever been overwhelmed by life and focused on the problems instead of him? It's easy to do. And I'm not here to beat you up today. I'm here to confess I struggle with this, guys. I struggle big time. Even as a pastor at a church, I struggle to worship in my life. But I want to be a better worshiper, and I think we all can be as well. Here's what Matt Redmond, these are chapter summaries, okay? Chapter summaries of all that, he's got 10 chapters in his book, and instead of saying, hey guys, go read this week, probably not going to happen for you, I summed it up, and I want you to grab a hold of it if you can, okay? So the first one is the chapter one we just read about, the unquenchable worshiper. So the heart of worship is kind of what this is about. The first one is the unquenchable worshiper, that your worship perseveres through the ups and downs and the highs and lows and the valleys and the peaks of life, okay? Here's the second one. The undone worshiper has a soft-hearted brokenness, okay? That you're undone before God, that your heart is soft, that you don't come before him proud and arrogant and cocky, but you're like, you know what? I have messed up. I have screwed up. I am a broken person. I need God. Here's the third one. The undignified worshiper. You might remember the story of David dancing before God in his underwear out in public because he's so passionate about God. He embarrasses his family. He's the king, and he does this. He's carefree and passionate about God, and he doesn't care about what people think. Now, we had a hard time just worshiping here, not caring, watching each other. Can you imagine doing that in your underwear out in the public? No, right? But David does this. He's undignified completely, right? I mean, you could get arrested for that kind of thing these days, right? He's carefree in his passion for God. Here's the fourth one, the unpredictable worshiper. This idea of having, like, all of a sudden, you just spontaneously have a moment where you worship God and you praise him. There's an example in the Bible. Do you remember the story of the lady who brings a bottle of perfume and opens it and pours it all over Jesus? I don't know if you remember that story. She gets made fun of and mocked for wasting her money and wasting her perfume because it was very expensive. It was meant to, dole out in small drops, not just dump a whole bottle. But she uses this extravagant expression of worship and pours this bottle of perfume on Jesus. She's mocked by the crowds, and Jesus says, no, I loved what she just did for me. She gave me something that was so special, right? Can I tell you of a moment when I did this, and this isn't normal for me, but I was in college. We just finished a big section, like a big semester or whatever, finally got done with classes and exams and whatever. I was just so grateful to God for the things he was doing in my life and that I was finally on break, that I was going to celebrate with a bottle of IBC root beer. Okay, I don't know if you guys like root beer. Well, I had a couple bottles, and so I decided to open a bottle, and I went outside, and I thought maybe God would like some too, so I shared a bottle of root beer with God, and I poured it all over the ground. Now, that might seem kind of idiotic and stupid and like a waste, right? I didn't know how to share a drink with God. The best idea I could come up with was to let the earth soak it up. So I know it cost me, maybe a dollar, and not like the lady who spent a lot of money on perfume. But I remembered that story, and in a strange act of worship, I poured my root beer on the ground. Okay? Not to be messy, but as an offering. Does it sound weird? Yeah, it's kind of weird. That's the closest I think I've come to being this kind of unpredictable worshiper, right? The unveiled worshiper, he talks about our open intimacy with God, that you don't come covered up and hidden, that when you come before God, you take off the veil, you take off your hat, you take off all your protective boundaries, and you bring your walls down, and you share your heart with God. This unveiled worshiper. Number six is the unstoppable worshiper, that your worship never quits. You never give up worshiping. You never stop. The Bible talks about having this unceasing worship. Now, obviously, you're going to have a period of time in the day where you sleep. There's going to be a period of time where you're doing homework and distracted and doing other stuff, right? I know it's hard to be constantly worshiping, but to not quit, to not give up on your faith, to not stop worshiping God was this idea. Number seven was the unnoticed worshiper. That, you know, a lot of worship we do is public or corporate, or we do it in the big, auditorium in there, or we do it in here. But God also wants our private, heartfelt worship, where it's just you and him. Number eight is the undivided worshiper. I don't know if you're like this, but I can get really distracted, even when I'm trying to connect with God. So this idea is to have focused attention. Maybe your attention span is about 60 seconds, and so your time with God is short. But maybe you do many, many of them. Are you with me? Or maybe you can do 5 or 10 minutes, or maybe you can even do an hour. But give God some of this focused attention. And you know what? God's kind of like us. How many of you like when someone gives you focused attention? I do. If you're having a conversation with somebody and they're staring off sideways looking at whatever else is going on over here, isn't that distracting? You ever been on the phone with somebody and you can tell they're doing something else? You can hear them typing, you can hear them playing, you can hear the blender going, you can hear them doing or talking even to somebody else while you're on the phone with them. It's totally annoying, right? But this idea of giving God your focused attention. Number nine is the unsatisfied worshiper. That you're hungry for more. That you don't get tired of it, that you want more of God, more of Jesus in your life. You want to worship him more. And the last one is this idea that we're worshiping God here and now on earth, but there's going to be a day when we're in heaven, and guess what they're going to be doing in heaven? Worshiping. And so this idea is that the unending worshiper, that our worship goes on into eternity, that we're going to be worshiping now, and when we die, our souls go to heaven, and we're in heaven with God, we're going to be worshiping then, and that worship is going to be a part of us for eternity. So I don't know if that helps you at all or grabs a part of you. If you're like, hey, I'm really good at that one, or I really stink at that one, maybe there's something in there that you can grab a hold of and try to put into your life this week. All right, this next part is going to feel a little bit weird. I have a song I want to play for you. It's actually a music video by the Newsboys, an older song called He Reigns. But I actually want you to watch the video. If you know the song, you can sing along. But I want you to watch other people worship. Okay? I just want you to observe them. Listen to the song. Listen to the lyrics. And watch these people from all over the world and the expressions on their faces and their attitudes of their heart. And I don't know. I found it kind of moving. When I really get to see other people worship God in a cool way. So check this out. All right, isn't that cool? I find it kind of inspiring. I'm like, man, I wish my heart would do that more, you know? And I don't know, we're pretty white in this room. I would love to have more one day in heaven, all the tribes and nations and people and languages is going to be this international choir of singing. It's going to be amazing someday. For now, as you go to Life Group, here's the question. What do you value the most? What do you value the most?